That is our new sermon series we're kicking off today called With Honor. A couple things I want to share with you before we get into the message. Next Sunday, we're going to do a water baptism at 6 p.m. We got several people that want to be water baptized. If you need to be water baptized, you've never been water baptized, you're not sure what it is, whatever, you can see myself or Pastor Mike after the service, and we can tell you more about that. Love to have you get water baptized next Sunday. Also, everybody's invited to the water baptism because afterwards we're gonna do a healing service in connection. We're gonna water baptize first in the lobby. We're gonna come in here. We're gonna worship and pray for healing. If you need healing in your body or you know somebody, anybody that needs healing, bring them. We've seen miracles happen in our healing service. We're gonna pray over the people to get baptized and believe for prophetic words. If you've never got a prophetic word, come. We'll believe for that. Also, it's gonna be exciting. That's this coming Sunday, a week from today. Also today, after the service, we have Church 101. Man, this is awesome. If you've never been in Church 101, you picked a great day to be here. It's free. You even get a free lunch. And what we do in Church 101, we find out who we are as a church, how we make decisions, how we handle finances, who does what, where our money goes, our structure, our vision, our beliefs, and how to become a member. So right after the service, right up here, we're going to have food, we're going to have tables, we're going to have, it's about a one-hour class called Church 101. Everybody's invited to that. All right, let's get into our message. The title of my message today is, Where is the Honor? This is part one of a 4 or 5-part series. Now next week, you don't want to miss next week because Pastor Kai Vaughn's going to be sharing part two on who we honor. We're going to talk about the big picture today about honor. And Rebecca and I are going to be leaving after 101. We're going to take a vacation this week and celebrate our 28th wedding anniversary. A couple weeks early, but it worked out at time for us. So be praying for us. Pray for Pastor Carl. He's fishing today. He's not here because he's fishing. No, I really mean he needed a break. He went to Louisiana. He does that every year. And they had rough seas yesterday. They couldn't go. I'm praying for him to catch the biggest fish he ever caught because he deserves it. He's been a great laborer. And I want him to catch a giant red snapper. Let's pray for him right now. Lord, we just pray for Pastor Carl to catch the biggest fish he ever caught. Bless him. Give him a great time up there in Jesus' name. And okay, so part two is next week, Pastor Kai Vaughn. Then the part three is Father's Day, and it's a special Father's Day message connected with honor. You don't want to miss this. I really, you know, the Lord has just shown me Father's Day message. A lot of people are going to get set free from some hurts from the past. Nobody in this room had a perfect father, and we've all got baggage from the past. Maybe you've dealt with it, maybe you haven't, but Father's Day is God's going to do some supernatural stuff on Father's Day. And then part four, Pastor Carl is going to be sharing about honor in the home and about parenting and how divorce, you may be affected by divorce. That's going to be a really powerful, really powerful message. I'm telling you, the next few weeks, you don't want to miss. We're talking about honor from a biblical perspective. And then just to give you a heads up over the rest of the summer, we're not sleeping over summer. You're going to get some powerful stuff. We're going to go through the book of James verse by verse and chapter by chapter after that for the rest of the summer. It's going to be really, really cool. All right, so let's get into honor and unpack it a little bit. We'll start with this. If you've got your sermon notes in your bulletin, it's printed there, but it's also up on the overhead. Let's start with this verse in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, really powerful book, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is God speaking to his people. And it says this, God saying this to us, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? Can you imagine God saying that to his people? I think he's saying that to us today. He's saying, you know, people honor people on this earth. Where, you know, what about me? I'm like God. If I'm a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priests. And this is not a place where we cast it off to somebody else, because the Bible says in the New Testament, as Christians, we're priests, prophets, and kings. So you could just say, O Christian, who show contempt for my name, but you ask, How have we shown contempt for your name? Jump down to chapter 2, verse 1, just following the same story along. He says, and now this admonition is for you, O Christians. If you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honor my name. Underline that if you got your Bible. Just think about it in your notes. Set your heart. Because see, you know, sometimes, like when Jesus came to Jerusalem, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did a lot of stuff that looked like they were honoring God, but Jesus said, your hearts are far from me, you know? And that's what he's after is our heart. Do we honor God in our hearts? Set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord God Almighty. Because look at this. I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. How many want that? You want your blessings cursed? Nobody wants that. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. I want to talk to you today about how not to cancel out your blessings. And we're going to learn some principles. Sometimes we're working hard, we're praying, we're doing all the right things. You know, why isn't this happening? It might be a key right now. If we could today, if I could show you something in your life, the Holy Spirit could reveal to me in some way in my life I'm not honoring God. Wouldn't I want to get rid of that? Because what he's saying is, and I don't think God like actively comes out and curses you. The way I see it in Genesis, it describes what happened to the planet. He set it up idyllic. It's called paradise. And man sinned, and it says when he sinned, a curse came on the planet. And the definition of blessing is actually removing the curse. It's to be made happy, prosperous, fortunate, impossible to curse. That's what the blessing means. And Scripture is full of all these scriptures talking about how God wants to bless us. And what it does is it pushes the curse off of it. So what he's saying is if you don't honor me, I can't bless you. And when I can't bless you, the curse takes over. The curse is not good. It's steal, kill, destroy, pain, suffering, agony, hard times. You don't want the curse. You want the blessing. And nobody would vote for the curse. But what he's saying in Scripture is there are things that we do that keep God from keeping the curse off of us. And one of them is this area of honor. That's what I want to start unpacking today. And we're going to do that for 4 weeks because we live in a generation that abhors honor. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's not getting any better. I mean, it's not the first time this has ever happened on the planet because God destroyed a whole generation in the time of Noah because they wouldn't honor him. So it's not like we're the worst generation or this has never happened before. But if you're as old as me, in October I'm going to be 60, if I get there. And I was raised by a man who was born in 1918 and grew up in the Great Depression, served in the U.S. Army. Was in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor when they got bombed, stayed through the duration of the war, only went through the eighth grade, pulled himself up by his own bootstraps, lived, you know what I'm talking about? They lived in a generation where honor, yes, sir, I was taught if somebody was, you know, like my parents' age and they asked you a question, you looked at them, you spoke to them, and you said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am.
That's right. Amen.
So, in my lifetime, in 60 years, I see a progression away from honor. It's not a good thing. So I'm saying we've all been affected by that. And but like I say, it's not like we're the worst. Oh, we're so terrible. No, it just kind of goes in cycles. I mean, it's human nature to not honor. I mean, you'll notice it in traffic. I think it's worse, this idea of honoring, to kind of letting somebody out in front of you. I notice it with the elderly. Used to be when I was a kid, you really respected the elderly. I noticed that. The handicapped, veterans were given a lot of honor. We see that diminishing. And even if we look at the Ten Commandments, aren't they all about honor? I was thinking about that this week. I mean, you could go through every commandment. First commandment, I am the Lord your God. You have no other gods before me. What is that? It's about honoring God. Don't have no idols. What's that? Don't honor other stuff, honor me. Don't take my name in vain. What's that? About honoring God. What's the next one? Honor the Sabbath. It says it right there. Honor the Sabbath. One day out of seven, it's honor. We're looking at our lives and saying, where am I opening the door to the curse? Just look at the Ten Commandments. They're all about honor. Honor the Sabbath. Oh, I just need to work an extra day because I need to make, really? Let's see how that works. Let's see how that works out in the end. And what's the next commandment? Honor your parents. I just never took apart the Ten Commandments. They're all about honor. Honor your parents that it may go well with you. What's the next one? Don't murder. What's that? Honor people. You know, don't murder them. Don't commit it. Yeah. What's the next one? Don't commit adultery. What's that? Honor the institution of marriage that God set up. Honor me as God, and I'm telling you how it works. Don't steal. What's that? Just honor people's property. Don't lie. What's that? Honor yourself by being true to yourself. Don't lie. And don't covet, the last one. Just honoring God and saying, okay, what I'm happy with what God gives me. They're all about honor. The Ten Commandments are all about honor. And people from the beginning of time have had a hard time with the Ten Commandments. It's nothing new. We're not the worst generation on the planet. It's just the way it is. We have a fallen nature and we have to deal with it. And God knows that. And being a Christian is going against the grain. That means if the whole society is all about dishonor, as Christians, when we look at the Word of God, we have to say, you know what, I can't do that. It strikes against the core of man to honor something bigger than himself. We just, you know, as individuals, as fallen individuals, or even as Christians, we don't mind being honored. But giving honor, that's a different situation. Just think about the things that God asked us. He instructed his people to take the first tenth of their income, of their produce, and honor God. That's what the tithe is. The first fruits, honor God. Bring it to God. Now, that doesn't make sense to mere mortal man. It's difficult. It's hard. And you know that something supernatural happened in your life when you do that and you bring God honor. It takes faith. It takes trust. It shows honor. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says this. Honor the Lord from your wealth. So this is one of the areas I'm talking about. How do we open the door for the curse to come in and eat our crops, bring pain and suffering and discomfort into our life? Here's a way. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the what? First, not the last, not let's see what's left over, from the first of all your produce. So look at this. Honor, so, honor in your finances, so what? So your barns will be filled. He connects a blessing with honor. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. I want to submit this to you for your consideration in the coming week, that honor always brings a blessing. Amen. And today we're going to talk about some areas in our life where we can show honor, not just to God, but to institutions, the things that God has told us to honor. And here's the challenge. If we'll do it, if we could take the faith to do that, he promises to bless us. That's a good thing. What is honor? In your notes, you can fill in the blanks if you like doing that. The first one here, honor, we're going to defining honor for you on the front of it. Honor means value, worth, and weight. Weight, that's the fill in the blank. Weight. If you look those words up in the Hebrew and the Greek, they have almost the same definition in both of those original languages. And both of them have this word weight to that. What is the significance of the word weight to honor? It's like this. You're driving down I-75, right? And you see, you know, a little plastic bag floating in the wind in your lane in front of you. And you look to the left and there's a car. You look to your right and there's a semi. And so you make a decision. I'm just going to stay right in my lane and hit the plastic bag. Why? Because it's light. It's no significance. So you didn't give it any respect or honor or submit to it. You just went right over it. Now let's change the scenario. You're going down I-75. It's three lanes right over here. And a semi-truck just ahead of you, one of those huge rolls of steel rolled off the back of the truck and landed right in your lane, sitting up there. It's like 4,000 pounds of steel in front of you. Now you got the same scenario. You're going 75 miles an hour. You look to your left of your car. You just look to your right. There's a semi. And what are you going to do? Are you just going to give it the same respect that you gave the bag? No. Because of its what? Weight. You ain't winning this one. You're winning the battle. You got a 4,000-pound car and a tenth of an ounce plastic bag. No big deal. We're going right over it. But the 4,000-pound hunk of steel is going to change your life in a negative way. So you honor that hunk of steel. You defer to it. In fact, the word is connected with another word, submission. You submit to the steel. You say, no, okay, I'm submitting to you. Hit the brakes, do whatever I can. I'm not going over the top of you. I want to read to you an actual exchange, reinforcing this point of honor. From this is an actual exchange, or so they say, from a maritime transmission log. That's, you know, ships at sea. They use marine radio. And this is a log that was written, and I'm going to read it to you. It's the Canadians and the Americans, the Canadian transmission. Please divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision. Americans, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadians, negative. You will have to divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Americans, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians, no. I say again, you divert your course. Americans, this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We're accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees south. I say again, that's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call. You may think you're all that, but there's some things even the U.S. Navy has to defer to because it has greater mass and greater weight. And I can assure you, they diverted their course. They gave way. They gave honor to the lighthouse because it was connected to a large mass of land. And even the U.S. Navy couldn't overcome that. So sometimes in our own life, we're kind of like the U.S. Navy. You know, we think we're all that, and we don't have to give honor. But there are consequences to not honoring what God asks us to honor. Go with me to Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, where did he go? His hometown. That's going to be great, right? Yay, Jesus is back. Do you see maybe some potential problems going back to your hometown? When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? But look at the next verse. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't that snotty-nosed little kid that used to cut through my yard? Don't I recognize him? What's the situation you're going to see develop here? Familiarity bred contempt in their life. They didn't give him the honor due him because they became too familiar with him. They saw him growing up. They didn't recognize who he was when he was little, and now they don't confer to him the honor due him. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And look what happened. They took offense at him. Now, what I want us to say in our life, there are things that are common, that familiar in our life, that we take offense at, that we shouldn't be taking offense at. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, in his own house, is a prophet without honor. Yeah. They didn't honor my office. They didn't honor who I came to be and do and everything that I was saying. And it says, look at this very sad statement in verse 5. He could not do any miracles there. The Son of God with the power to heal, to save, he couldn't do any miracles there. Why? Because he didn't have any power? No, because they wouldn't honor him. The lack of honor kept him from doing what he wanted to do, kept him from releasing his power. Power is failing to be released in our lives if we don't give honor to whom it is due. He couldn't do any miracles there except laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So back to your notes. Familiarity causes dishonor. Familiarity causes dishonor. It's just a natural occurrence. You get too familiar, children, quickly they learn to dishonor because they're familiar. They see the parents get up in the morning with all their nappy looking hair and, you know, that's it. Familiarity, I don't know if I need to honor. Sometimes just being around your boss all the time and seeing his quirks and you're going to bring a little dishonor. Familiarity brings dishonor in the family, in the home, husband, wives. And the second thing, offenses causes dishonor. Sometimes we get offended, and then we decide we don't have to honor anymore. And then the third thing, which is not in your notes, is arrogance causes dishonor. Sometimes it's just, I'm all that. Kind of like that Navy ship. I'm not going to defer to you. Look who we are. It's been said you can learn a lot about a person by how they treat their waiter or waitress. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 12. Well, you know, they're just my waiter or waitress. Well, Jesus put it this way, Matthew 25, 40. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. A certain honor is due to every person on the planet. Amen. Say, yeah, but you know, they don't have a job or they made all these mistakes. Okay, it doesn't mean you have to buy into their rebellion, but there's a certain amount of honor due to everybody should be respected as a human being. And that waiter or waitress doesn't mean that just because, you know, you're there and you're buying the meal that somehow, you know, they're less of a person than you are. They still deserve honor and respect. I remember one time I went to a restaurant, doesn't exist anymore. It was a little family restaurant. It was a few years ago, and I walked in. It was a small place, and there was a pastor from another church there, a small church. I don't think you'd know him. But I walked in. I saw him. Hey, how you doing? Walked over and said hello to him. He was there with a couple ladies from his church. It was after church. It was Sunday after church. Went, sat down, and the waiter came by, and it was interesting. You know, he says, you know that guy? And I go, yeah, he's a pastor. Yeah, I know who he is. He said, he's a jerk. I said, what? Why'd you say that? He said, he treats all the waiters like dirt. You know, that just hurt me. It's like, man, it's the man of God. Everybody knows he's a pastor, and this is how this guy treats everybody like dirt. And I even saw it. He got, you know, a little later, you know, you could tell the way he was talking to him was just like talking down to him. You know, we got to watch. We're a witness. You know, everybody deserves respect. What are you offended by? What are you familiar with? Government? Are you offended by the government? That doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. But sometimes we get offended because they don't do things the way we would do them. And so we make a decision that now I don't have to honor them. Wait a minute. If God said honor the king, you need to honor the king. He didn't say you had to agree with them, believe what they believe, but he did say you have to honor them. Have you ever seen this with law enforcement? Some people just, you know, I mean, listen, they may not be right, but you have to honor that position, that office. If the policeman says, put your hands on your head, you don't go into it. Well, why are you, there's a certain honor. But you see, a generation, I saw this one time on campus, and these officers were trying to stop, and this guy was like, I mean, it's been inculcated into our culture, and we got to be careful it doesn't get into our own life, in our attitude toward the government that God has set up to be a blessing to us, that because we don't agree with everything that they do, we choose to be offended, and then we don't honor that institution, and what happens? It opens the door to the curse in our own life. Be careful. Be careful when we don't honor something that God has said in his word. Honor this. Family, husbands and wives. It's so easy. You know, the Bible clearly tells the husband that he needs to love his wife, which means being willing to lay your life down. But it also sets up authority in the home and says, wives, respect. It's the same word in the Greek translated honor. Timo. Respect, timo, honor your husband. And the familiarity comes in. It doesn't, even the scripture even expounds on that. Even in disobedience, someone could say, yeah, but, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. I don't agree with them. So I have a right to dishonor. Careful. Opens up the door for the curse to come into the home. It doesn't say if a person's right, honor them. It says if I put them in this position of your life, your boss, your master, your parents, your husband, the government, the police, the officer, if I put them in the position, give them the honor that's due them without argument, without debate. It's easy to get into this position, even to God, even to the Word of God, to the Bible. Sometimes we don't honor the Bible because, yeah, but, uh-uh. So back to your notes, number one on the back side, honoring begins with God's claim on them, not their perfection, God's claim on them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. So In some places, there's a mutual submission because we're human beings. And then to my boss, though, there's a different level. As an employee, I'm going to submit to my boss. I'm not going to ask him to submit to me. Now, as human beings, we're on the same level before God. But as a boss, I'm submitting to his judgment. You see how there's different levels of submission that God has put into our life. And then number two on here, honoring benefits me too. Honoring benefits me too. Ephesians 6, 2 through 3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Why? That it may go well with you. And that's what I'm sharing with us today. It's not just this academic thing. Oh, yeah, here's honor and here's what you need to know about it. No, I want you to be blessed. This is the goal of, this is my goal as a person, is to help people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose. But there are things that will keep you from experiencing fulfillment in your life. The curse is not fun. And we got to look at these things that will keep you from experiencing contentment and fulfillment. The curse steals your joy. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Number three, honoring is decided, not deserved. Decided by God, not deserved. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to, that's that Greek word, timon, to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor, same word, timon, honor the king. Respect or honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor, weight, value. I want you to think about this week. I got an assignment for you to be thinking about. Where am I blocking my blessings by not giving honor? Might be in your home. And any relationship that God has set up authority in your life. Maybe we're dishonoring God with our finances because we're not putting him first. Maybe we dishonored him by taking the Sabbath day lightly. Maybe we've taken his name in vain. Maybe you have a habit of just using God's name in vain. You say, yeah, well, that's no big deal. God thinks it's a big deal. He made it a commandment. Why? Because it's all about honor. It's all about our hearts. Shows that our heart doesn't honor him. Maybe you're in the habit of disobeying some of God's ordinances, precepts, laws, and principles. Say, yeah, I'm getting away with it. I don't think so. I think there are consequences. Maybe toward your boss. Maybe this week I'm going to ask you to pray. You're going to see in your notes a little place where you can fill that in. Ask God to speak to you and write down what he's showing you. Maybe you've had a bad attitude about your boss because he doesn't do things just the way that you would do them. Maybe the king, maybe government, maybe your husband, maybe your parents. And catch this one. Here's a big one. Maybe yourself. Maybe you don't even value and honor yourself. You disrespect yourself. Maybe you've been brought up in such a way that people told you you're nothing, you're this or that, and put you down. And you don't have the respect for yourself that you need to have. I can't solve all those just by waving my hand. But you know what? If you get alone with the Holy Spirit this week, I believe He can do a lot of stuff in your life. And we're going to have a prayer team up here when we're in. Maybe you just, God's dealing with you and you're going to want some prayer. We're going to have a prayer team at the end of the service. Honor opens the door to abundance, blessing, joy, and fulfillment. Maybe some of our prayers are not being answered because of dishonor. On the bottom of your sheet, you can take that this week and start writing. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me? Just take some time and pray and ask God. Maybe God's dealing with you right now about some honor situations in your life. Maybe you need to remove some guilt, shame off of your life. Maybe you've been hurt or wounded. Someone's spoken something negative to you. Maybe you want to Get right with God right now before you leave here today. Let me just lead you in a prayer. Lord, I pray for everybody that's here today. People that have been spoken negatively, or people have spoken negative things over them, so they don't even honor themselves. There's people here today, Lord God, that today we're being convicted in our hearts that we haven't honored you. You might be here today, you say, you know what, if I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Does anybody know that? Yeah. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? You surrender your life to Christ. You honor him as King and Lord. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. I just like everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you need to make a fresh start with God, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come up front, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you mean business with God and you need a fresh start, you got some things piled up in your life that you want to get off of you and get a fresh start, I'm going to pray for you. Slip up your hand real quick. And put your hands down. Hands have gone up all over the room. First, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. I pray for these people right now that are restarting their life with you and then carrying baggage and burdens and shame from the past. I ask you to remove it from them, bring blessing and bring healing into their life and a fresh start. In Jesus' name. Everybody said. Well, listen, there's an offering envelope. We're getting ready to wrap up.